just to say, chapter 10 of Genesis is a long list of names, so I'm leaving most of them out. We have our visiting speaker who may well deal with some of those, because in that long list of names are some of your ancestors. But we're not going to be looking at those in detail. But there are two people in that chapter 10 of Genesis that I want to pick out. And the man who became a proverb, his name is Nimrod. Have you heard of Nimrod before? Well, the name Nimrod means rebel. So that's a clue, isn't it? So let's see what it says. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who became a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. And that is why it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The first centers of his kingdom were Babylon, Uruk, Akkad, and Calneh in Shinar. Right, Shinar's the plain, the Mesopotamian plain, that where he had his kingdoms built up. And you notice that one of his first kingdoms was Babylon. First mention of Babylon. So let's have a look at our next picture, please. Nimrod. It says he was like a mighty hunter before the Lord. Well, who or what did he hunt? He gathered people to himself as a king. He made himself out to be a big name and so on. So Nimrod was not a person to be argued with, he called himself, yeah? The cities he started included Babylon. Right, so Babylon features, as we'll see throughout the Bible, as a centre of opposition to God. Right, and the word is described as, he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. The literal word is in the face of. And if someone's in your face, it generally means they're not doing any good. Right, so he was a mighty hunter in the face of the Lord. He was the leader of the rebellion in those days. But he is, in many ways, a sort of forerunner, a picture of others that have come in his line, of rebels against God. And right at the end of time, we're getting close to that perhaps, we read in Thessalonians, someone very much like Nimrod, he's called the man of sin. And Nimrod is a forerunner of that. So I'll just read you what Paul has to say about this guy who's going to be turning up. If I can find him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. It's all about the return of Jesus, and he says that people are getting a bit worried because they thought Jesus has already come back. Some people had been saying that. He says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That's what we've got to look forward to, eh? The man of sin, another name's Antichrist, that's the name. He's an Antichrist, one of the starters, one of the first ones, Nimrod. Okay, and he led a rebellion. Well, we'll see what the rebellion was that he led in the next picture, a little bit to come on. It happened during the lifetime of Peleg. Two sons were born to a chap called Eber. And one was named Peleg because in his time, in his time, the earth was divided and his brother's name was Joktan. So during Peleg's lifetime, he was called division. Because in his lifetime, something happened. The earth was divided. How was the earth divided? Not with water. I put in as a clue, the population of the earth was divided. The earth had been cracked up by the flood before then, of course. The continental drifts and started and all that sort of thing. This is about the people, as we'll see in the next one. Okay? Right. The whole world had one language and a common speech. How about that? You could talk to anybody, anywhere, and they'd understand you. That's a miracle, isn't it? In itself. But that's how God created human beings. He created us to have relationships, to be in fellowship with other human beings. Right? So, that's what it was like at the beginning. They all spoke the same language. Which language was it?
Hebrew.
You think it was Hebrew? We don't know. The answer is we don't know. But, of course, the Jews like to think it's Hebrew, of course. Because that's a pretty basic language, isn't it? Fundamental to the Bible and so on, but the literal answer is we don't know, but if you start learning Hebrew it might get you off to a head start for heaven. But there's a nice way around that as well, of course. Let's have a look at that next one, please. Right. In Genesis 11, verse 2, as the people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. So, you know where they started from? They started from Armenia, that area where the ark landed, somewhere around there. And then they travelled into this, what's called the land of the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. The fertile crescent it's known as. And down here, it's all Iran and Iraq nowadays, isn't it? Yeah? But down here, Shinar was the name of the area where they were. So they travelled down there, they set off on their journey of expansion. Right then, next please. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Right, so why did they make bricks? To build with. Yes, that's a good reason. To build with. Why did they bake them?
To harden
them. They don't break down. Normally, bricks, and when the Israelites were making bricks in Egypt, it was clay and straw. They didn't bake them. So, they like cob, you know?
Yes.
It can last a long time, but if it gets badly weathered, that's it. Whereas bricks, because they've been hardened, hard baked, they're solid. Now, why instead of stone? Stone's a good thing, isn't it? If they lived on the plain, you've got to go to the mountains generally to get stone. So they invented the technology of baking bricks, making hard pieces of stone to build with. So that's what's going on there, right? Okay. And they use this bitumen stuff. There's lots of this stuff around, apparently, in that area. And so they use that. And what's good about that?
Waterproof.
It's sticky and it's waterproof. It's messy as well, of course. They like getting messed up, I suppose, like boys do, you know. Okay, so, next up, please. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So, there's two reasons why they wanted to build. Right, they want to build this big tower. Why do they want to build a big tower? Because he says, look at me, what I've done. Right, that's the Nimrod style, eh? Look at me, what I've done. Pride, it's called, yes. Right, and the other reason was, so they won't be scattered over the face of the earth. What did God told them?
Be fruitful and multiply.
Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, right? Now then, fill the earth means you've got to get to the other end to do it, yes? But they thought, no, we'll stay where we are. So, I've written that down. The Lord said go, and they said
no.
It's called rebellion, if you don't know what the word is yet. Pride and rebellion. There's a picture of one of these types of things that possibly they built. The Middle Eastern name for them is a ziggurat. Have you come across that name before?
Yes.
A ziggurat. It's a sort of a temple-y type thing. I also think perhaps one of the it doesn't say so, maybe I'm just guessing, but it says they wanted to build a tower that reaches to the heavens. Why so high? To be like God, right? But there may be another reason.
We're the greatest.
Yes, I'm sure that's it. But there's just one. I may be wrong. But the thought crossed my mind is that they got flooded out last time. Remember? We'll fix him. He's not going to flood us next time. We'll get above it. Yeah. So that may be part of their arrogance and pride as well, of course. Yeah. Okay. So next up, please. Right. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord came down. Now, that's good, isn't it? Can you read that word, by the way?
Yeah,
anthropomorphism. What is an anthropomorphism?
Long word.
It's a long word. It's made out of two words. Anthropos means man. Yeah, and morph means shape. Right? So, man-shaped. Right? So, what the point I'm getting at is, the Bible uses terms about God that are human, right, that express God's abilities, but God doesn't need to be a human to do it. Right? So, when he says, the Lord came down, he doesn't need to go anywhere. He can see for himself, but the idea that he's trying to convey is, he has a really close look.
Yeah.
See what they're up to. Yeah, he saw that from where he was sitting, but you know, it gives us the idea. It's an anthropomorphism. There are quite a long lot of those in the Bible. When he says God bared his righteous right arm, right? Does God have arms?
No.
God is a spirit.
Yeah.
He doesn't have arms, right? God has eyes. Does he? No, he doesn't. But he can see. Yeah. So I given you something to think about now, haven't I? Yes. Of course, Jesus, the man, bears those things and has the nature of God as well. So Jesus is the link between humans and men, of course. But God in his nature, in his being, doesn't need to come down. He knows already, okay? But that's what he's trying to convey. He's going to see what they're up to. Next thing, please. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. God's admitting something about the human beings that he's created. If you get a lot of human beings together and they get their mind on a thing, they can accomplish an awful lot of things. Did you know that? It's true. Human beings have accomplished massive things. I've got a couple there. Aren't we brilliant? We've built the nuclear bomb. Wow, right. Animals couldn't do that. The human beings sussed it all out, worked out to do it, yes? Yeah, right, that's one. And then what about this thing? Flying up to space. We've visited the moon. We've gone around various planets or whatever. Human beings, when they set their mind to it, can do some amazing things. Right? The problem that God has with this lot, this bunch, and human beings in particular, is that they are sinful human beings. And when sinful human beings get their minds together, they can come up with some pretty nasty schemes. We've invented more ways of killing people than you can imagine, eh? And all the other nasty little tricks that we get up to. So, what do sinners do best?
Sin!
Right, that's what's going on there. Pride, rebellion, hostility to God. And God had the best in plans for them. God wanted to bless them. That's what he said to the man at the beginning, didn't he? I'm blessing you. Be fruitful. Multiply. It's yours. I want it all for you. And what do they do? No, we'll do it our way. Yes? So, next slide, please. Then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. This, as I said, with Nimrod and the whole thing about Babel that God is talking about here, is the danger of people getting together and planning their evil schemes. And we've had a few of the Nimrods since Nimrod's time. These are two of the guys. Yeah? This is Mao Zedong. How many millions did he finish up killing?
Millions.
Yeah? For his big enterprise. Yeah? And we've seen him before as well, haven't we? Adolf Hitler. He wanted to rule the world. The Third Reich, he called it. The Third Kingdom. The final world kingdom. That's what he was after. Yes? And all these tin pot rulers are going to be giving way to the final tin pot ruler, the Antichrist. That's what Paul was talking about. So we see the danger of one world government without Jesus in charge. Human beings in charge with the devil behind them can do a lot of damage. That's what we're getting at. So there's the dangers. So at this stage in the world's history, God's going to put a stop to it. Right, so let's see what happens next. So God says, come, let us go down. Come, let us go down. What's unusual about this sentence?
It's just let us.
It's plural. Yes, let us. Well, it's God's talking, isn't he? So, why does he say let us?
His son.
He's talking within himself, not to himself. Right? We can talk to ourselves. Yeah. He's talking within himself because within God's being, there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's just one of those little hints you get in the Bible. It gets developed as time goes on into the New Testament, of course. But you find it throughout the Old Testament as well. There are hints that God is not just simple one God type. He is one God, but not as the oneness that we think about. Yeah? Just give you a little bit of a Hebrew lesson, if you like. Yeah? When Adam and Eve were created, yes, God brought them together and made them
one.
Right? The word is echad. Right? Can you say echad?
Echad.
Very good. That means one, right? And the name went in Deuteronomy when the Israelites are told to declare the uniqueness of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What's the word?
Echad.
Right? In other words, oneness with complexity. Right? There's the Father, Son, and the Spirit in this oneness. One God, but come, let us, is what he says, right? And what's the other thing? Let us go down. It's an anthropomorphism again, isn't he? He looked down to see, and now he's coming down. Well, he doesn't need to come down, does he?
No.
He can just say the word and it's done, of course. Right, okay, so that's what he's saying. Right, God's going to fix it. Right, next slide, please. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other. Right, so, what he's going to do is bring in all sorts of different languages. Can you imagine them laying their bricks? Yeah, once, you know, they put in the bricks down to build this building, and one says, could you pass me the bricks? And she says, huh? You shouldn't have sung the song, we could have done it. Right? All of a sudden, they haven't the foggiest what each is saying, yeah? I assume that God gave enough of them so they could form up a small family. Yeah. But, you know, yeah? They've all sort of, what's he on about? Right. It's a bit like that nowadays, isn't it?
And, yeah.
But anyway, there we are. That's where the languages started, the different languages started, yeah? And is it a blessing or a curse? Well, God was, it's both in a sense. God was stopping them getting on with the job of rebellion, right? So that's the curse side of it, but it's a blessing as well. Because
God is love, he's doing it for ultimately a loving.
Yes, person. Because he wants to populate the world, and he wants some of that population to be you, 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 and you, and you. Right? So if he'd blown them all up then, you wouldn't be here. Right? So God split us up. Right? So that's the thing. It is a different disadvantage, of course, because God's message now needs to be translated into all the different languages. Yeah, but we can do that now, can't we? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he brought in these languages so that they would split up, right? Can you read some of these words? Oh, I've lost it. Go to the previous one. You read some of these words just to get the idea, yeah? Right. Hello, we know that one, don't we?
Yes.
We're okay with that one. Shalom, you know that one as well, don't you? Right. Guten Tag, that's a bit German for you. Right, have we got some French? Oh, hola, that's for you, Spanish. Yeah? Right. Bonjour, we've got bonjour, right, okay. So you've got the idea, all these different languages. Interestingly, they are related, but you can't always work out how they're related. Yes, so there we go, next slide please. So the Lord scattered them from there, all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. So he put his hand on the work and says, that's it, no more building, and they dispersed. Right, so, yeah, God can stop things when he wants to, can't he? And at this point in time, he chose to make sure that they scattered so that the world would be filled with people. Right, next one, please. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the earth. So, it's Babel. Babel means confusion, that's the word, yes? So he confused the languages of the people, and that's it, it was a protection as well. Because God wants to populate the world, but to split people up into nations was a good thing. Mm. Because while they are in nations, there isn't the man of the Antichrist. Mm. Yeah? While they're all doing their own different thing, yeah, they won't be getting together. But the time's coming, dear friends, I'm sorry to tell you this, when the world's going to say, well, it's such a mess, what we need is somebody to sort it out. I know who to vote in, and it's Antichrist. He promises you the earth, and he'll take it all from you. Right, so be careful who you vote for. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I can say that. But the Lord scattered the people, made them nations, in order to prevent that happening for a long, long, long time. Yeah. Okay. We look at Babylon, just to give you some idea of that. This Babylon idea is runs throughout the Bible. It was founded in rebellion. That was Nimrod. We've just looked at him, haven't we? Mm-hmm. Right. And then this middle picture is that it's the destruction of Jerusalem. Who destroyed Jerusalem? Was Nebuchadnezzar, and he was king of the Babylonians. Right? So God used the Babylonians to chasten his people because of their rebellion. Right? So God can use the wicked to fulfill his purposes. Yeah? But then we see in Revelation 18, Babylon the Great is fallen. Well, we'll get to that in our studies sometime. But Babylon the Great, the sort of seat of opposition, again, to God and his plans. Yes, and we see it as the focus of the final rebellion against the Lord. And when the Lord destroys them, that's it, isn't it?
It's over.
Yeah, so he's going to put rebellion down, that's the point. So Babylon, it's not the place as such. Yes? There is a physical place called Babylon. But it's the Babylon in the sense of rebellion, resistance to God. Okay? So that's what it's about. Okay, now next please. But, now then, what happened on the day of Pentecost?
Spirit.
Well,
they all heard in the same, in their own tongue.
Yes, interesting.
In one language.
Interesting, I'll just read it to you. What it says about what happens goes on here. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then he talks about all the different people. So what happened there was, as the Holy Spirit came, he united them. They were united in prayer. The Holy Spirit filled them all, and they started speaking in other languages. Languages they'd never learned. Right? Why? It wasn't a confusion, no. This was to get the people's attention. Right? When they heard these Galileans, these country bumpkins, talking their language, what on earth is going on? God got their attention. And he says, we hear them, they weren't preaching. He says, we hear them speaking the praises of God in our language. Yeah? So they heard them praising the Lord, and so they, what on earth's going on? And then Peter speaks up in the language of the time, Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek, I think it's Hebrew or Aramaic he was speaking, and he preaches to them about Jesus. Yeah? But what's the Holy Spirit doing? He's breaking down the language barrier. Yeah? He's getting them to hear the good news in their language so that they can know. And this is the important thing about sharing the gospel in people's own languages. They know it's not an imported religion, it's one for you, for your people, your nation, your race. Yeah? That's what God's breaking down the barriers. He's reforming a people for himself. And of course, the difference between the Tower of Babel and this people is that they are united in a good plan. Not rebellion, but in the purposes and plan of God. Yeah? So he's re-establishing or undoing the Tower of Babel stuff. So that's what the Holy Spirit was doing there. Right, next one please. Right, so, now, I'm twisting the words. I hope the Lord will forgive me, and I hope you will as well. I'm twisting the words, but I think they can be used in this way. When God spoke about the rebels, he said, if as one people speaking the same language they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That's right, isn't it? Yeah, human beings are sinners, can do a lot of things. But I'd like to say this. God could say that about those people on the day of Pentecost. If now they're all together, serving me as one heart and one mind, then nothing they want to do will be impossible for them. Because I'll back it up, of course. Yes? So there's a promise in that to mine. When Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's talking about building with you and me. Little old bricks like you and me. How about that? But he's building a kingdom that can't be toppled, it won't be broken, and it's united in Jesus. Okay. So that's the message of the Tower of Babel. Rebellion, yes, anti-God, but God can defeat even that. The gates of hell will not prevail. All their schemes, there's a lovely verse in Proverbs, and this is what that summarizes up. There is no scheme, there is no plan, there is no insight that can succeed against the Lord. Good news, isn't it? Jesus is Lord. So, last little one. So, he wants you to start building. Next, please. Right. So, what does he tell us to do? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus is building something, isn't he? And he's building it through you and me. And he says, go. I don't mean to say you have to go to the farthest ends of the earth, some will, right? But you share your faith where you can and what you can do with it. Yeah? That's what it's about, yes? Brother Andrew had an interesting one about this. You know Brother Andrew, yes. Who sought to take the Bible and the message of Jesus behind the Iron Curtain in those days. He told his students and whatever, he said, you know, God tells us to go. He didn't say anything about getting back. And that's the commitment some had to make. You know, it may mean your life. And it did for the first disciples, didn't it? Mm-hmm. All the apostles apart from John gave their lives in the service of Jesus. Right? But I'll tell you what, they didn't lose anything. Mm-hmm. They gained, ultimately. And the world gained because of their desire to share the good news. So, dear friends, right? We resist the devil, but we work with Jesus. Yes. And he wants us to be united. That's the important thing about God's people being one together. Is that as we work together, right, we can accomplish things that we could not do on our own. Okay? Right, so whether you speak French, German, Latin, or whatever other variation on the theme, right, you can use it for Jesus now. It's good news, isn't it? So let's just pray, shall we? Lord and Father, thank you. Lord, that you were in charge, even when they were seeking to stand against you with all their folly and their rebellion. We're here today, Lord, in this part of the world, because, Lord, you stopped them doing their foolish things. And, Lord, that they scattered as a result of that. Lord, thank you for your mercy, for your intervention. Lord, for stopping us doing some of the dumb things that we've done in our lives, Lord, that we could have got a lot worse. Lord, I can look back in my own life and see, Lord, what mercies you show. Lord, and we're here today because you had a hand upon us. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. May we know he's empowering in our lives. Lord, that we may be witnesses for Jesus. Lord, that we may declare that we're not just on our own. We're one with you and part of your people, your work in this world. Build your church, Lord Jesus. Fulfill your purposes. And thank you for the privilege of being part of it. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. And Lord, help us to trust you, even when there's lots around shouting their heads off and making big noises, how important they are. Thank you, Lord, we know the truth. Jesus is Lord. And one day the world's going to know it. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.